Here's an example. The 5th of June 1980, Tuesday, a couple of weeks ago, I was going to sleep one night and suddenly I saw a vision. In the vision I saw a very clear picture of my Aunt Kay, laying down with her eyes closed. I knew she wasn't dead, but asleep or passed out in the vision. When it was over I got out of bed, and walked to the living room where my mom was reading. I asked her, "How is Aunt Kay?" She said, "Why?" I told her of my vision and she said that she hadn't talked to Aunt Kay for a long time. Last Friday day I heard the story. Aunt Kay was in bed one night when she fell out of bed. When she fell, she hit her head, and for a while she was blinded. Now she is out of the hospital after days, and she is recovering her sight. As close as I can tell, the vision took place on or near the day of her accident. Psychic dreams. I discovered that dreams can be a source of psychic information. On the 8th of February 1981, I had a dream that started normally. I was at the university bookstore. Then the dream took on a strange quality, and I was paged to come to the information desk. At the information desk, a lady handed me a telephone. A woman's voice told me I should come home because there had been a death in my family. I asked the woman who had died, but she said she couldn't tell me. All she could tell me was the person's social security number over the phone. When she told me the social security number, I knew it was my father who had died in my dream. I was shocked and sad, so I consciously decided to end the dream, which led me to an out-of-body experience. My father was in perfect health, but not for long. This was the first warning I was given about my father's death. Precognition. Precognition could also be classified as clairvoyance, but instead of the ability to know the present, this is the ability to know the future. On November 2, 1981, I had a certain feeling or knowing that my father was soon to die. I wrote it down, but I didn't tell anyone. 118. My feeling. My father was still in good health. Soon after that, my dad became ill and died on January 13, 1982. A better example of precognition is the following. The 26th of November 1980, Wednesday, I took a 94B bus home from work today. On the bus ride to downtown Minneapolis, I thought about many things, but the main thought that kept nagging me the whole way home was, I'd better relax more, in case we get in an accident. I would feel the need for relaxation, then I would realize I was tense, then I would relax again. When I tense up again, I tell myself to relax again, and so on. The thoughts kept nagging me until I decided to pursue them. I thought about the prospect of my bus getting in an accident. I kept reassuring myself, no way could it happen. But the thought nagged. I looked around me to see how cushioned I'd be if I were to get in an accident. I was sitting sideways, next to another man who would cushion me in an accident. I looked to see how everyone else was cushioned. There was only one person better cushioned than I. I thought about having an accident for about 5 to 10 minutes. Then I relaxed a final time, and I stayed relaxed for the rest of the bus ride. Sure enough, my bus then hit a van from behind. Deja vu. Deja vu is similar to precognition. You have a certain sense of knowing what the future will be, but there is also an overwhelming sense of having done it all before. It is as if the whole scene was rehearsed countless times in the past. It is typical to ask yourself, haven't I done this before? These experiences tie into psychic dreams. Here is an example from my journals. The 7th of May 1984, Thursday, I've had two déjà vu experiences recently. The first I'll mention was today. I was at APS, at CC's terminal. CC was on the phone, and I knew every word she said, before she said it. I broke out laughing, but she didn't understand why I was laughing. The other experience was last Tuesday. I was at APS, talking to SB about the basic computer language, when I remembered I had done this once before in a dream, and I knew everything SB was going to say. In the dream, my boss DJ walked in and saw me talking with SB about basic. I was embarrassed because I don't normally use basic in my work. I thought, oh no, DJ will be coming in here any instant and I'll have to explain myself. I've got to get out of here fast. so I tried to excuse myself and leave. But when I tried to leave, SB asked me some question, which delayed me further. I answered and tried to leave again. He stopped me again saying, "Hang on, let me show you something." I tried to escape a third time and fourth time, but each time SB came up with a reason to keep me there. Then DJ came in the room and said the same thing he said in my dream. I was indeed embarrassed, and I had to explain my interest in BASIC, and how it pertains to my current work. 119. The example mentioned above lasted a long time, about 20 minutes. Both experiences were remembered from a dream. At times I would dream the future quite often, and the dreams would give me a déjà vu experience later. My personal belief is that we use our dreams sometime to plan the future. The dreams were the plans, and the plans were carried out perfectly. In these cases, my efforts to change the planned events were continually thwarted. Apparitions. The main problem I had with most psychic experiences is that they were not very concrete. Often they were just feelings I had about situations, or astray thoughts in my mind. I had a hard time believing in these phenomena. I found out there were other, more concrete types of psychic phenomena, such as apparitions. An apparition is the physical appearance of a non-physical entity or object. The following is an example. The 19th of August 1983, Friday, Wednesday, I had read an article in the Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology, on the subject of mediumship. The articles talked about physical manifestations of all sorts, and I was interested in it. I wished right then that some spirits would do a physical manifestation for me, to prove it to me. Later that night I woke up startled, with a sense of danger. I opened my eyes and much to my shock I saw a hand materialized in midair near my head, and the hand held something. I was so shocked and fright-aged that I jumped and shook the bed violently. Whatever was in the hand went flying, and the hand withdrew from me and went up and disintegrated. I fainted and my consciousness gradually fell into nothingness, although there was a slight delay. Psychokinesis, PARK, or telekinesis, TK. Psychokinesis is when something is physically moved or altered by psychic means. One day I had just left my place of work at about 8 p.m. I was very excited about many things. The book I was reading was exciting. I recently had an exciting out-of-body experience and other exciting things were happening. For some reason, as I waited to catch my bus, I felt very psychically strong. I felt as if I could do anything. I'm never idle with such feelings. I had to find some way to test out this feeling of power. I looked around for nearby objects. If I really have this power, I reasoned to myself, I can probably walk over to any parking meter and open it up with my mind. I walked over to a random parking meter, slipped my hands gently around it, and it opened effortlessly. Shiny coins spilled all over the ground. For a second or two I stood there in shock. What if someone saw me? What should I do? I am a very honest person. I tried to close the meter, but spilled coins were keeping the door from closing. I quickly cleared it out, closed the door, and started frantically plugging coins into the meter. Occasional drivers must have thought I was crazy plugging handfuls of coins into a parking meter, long after parking hours. Especially since there wasn't a car in that spot. I picked up all the coins from the ground and plugged them one by one into the meter. My heart was still pounding as I got on the bus, and a long time after that. 120. Here is another example from my journals, the 24th of September 1984, Monday. Weird things are starting to happen again. After work I wanted to do some drawing, but I haven't seen my drawing pencil since our trip. I tried unsuccessfully to find the pencil many times since. The last time I looked was Saturday when I searched the house and JP's apartment. Today I searched again for it, but without success, and while I was searching, my inner voice said, "Try using your sight to find it." I didn't find it, so JP and I decided to go shopping for one. Before we left I sat today in the middle of his living room next to the biggest chair, waiting for him to get ready. We went shopping but I didn't buy a new pencil since JP offered to lend me one. When we got home, I went up to JP's apartment. While he got on the phone, I wandered into the middle of his living room. There, in the middle of JP's biggest chair was my drawing pencil. I asked JP about it, but he said it was impossible because he had been sitting on the chair just before we left. Therefore, before we left there was no pencil on the chair, or in fact anywhere to be found. But when we returned, the pencil was lying on the chair. There is absolutely no possible explanation of how that pencil appeared there, where it came from, or anything. It had to have been teleported there because JP was never out of my sight from the time we left until the time we returned. That chair was empty when we left. Clairaudience. Clairaudience is the ability to hear voices of people who are not physically present. Experience would suggest this can happen between two living persons as well as the traditional spirit voices. This is different from telepathy. In telepathy you pick up the thoughts of others. In clairaudience, you hear a voice as plain as day. When it's happened to me, it's been so loud and clear that I've looked around to see who was speaking, but no one was in sight. Here are two good examples. The 14th of October 1983 Friday, one other remarkable thing happened a couple of weeks ago. I was at the university campus, walking to one of my classes, and I was thinking about an article in the Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology that said the term inner voice refers to clairaudience. Suddenly I spiritually heard a female voice. The voice said, "My name is Julia, and I say it's not important where the wisdom comes from, but rather, it's the wisdom itself that counts." That was the first time I ever heard a voice that claimed to have a name. Also, that voice didn't need translation like my inner voice does. Instead, the words came through directly. Naturally, it shocked me quite a lot. The 7th of May 1984 Thursday. Today I was working at a customer site for work. I had arranged for So to meet me at P Company at 6 p.m. At 5:40 p.m. I looked at my watch and thought, I have plenty of time, So won't be here for 20 minutes. So I started entering data into their computer. At 5:45 p.m. I heard So's voice loud and clear yelling something like, "Hello? Anyone there?" I couldn't believe So would be there so early, yet I heard his voice. It sounded as if he were yelling from outside, yet I was sitting in the parts room in the middle of a big building. All the windows were closed and locked about 100 feet away. I ran to the big doors, opened them, and ran outside, only to find So just getting off his motorcycle, taking off his full helmet. I asked him if he yelled anything and he said he didn't, he just arrived. He said he tried to mentally send the message to me. I checked. There was no way he could have yelled loud enough for me to hear him in the parts room, especially with his motorcycle helmet on. The alarming thing about this was the clarity of his voice. It sounded as plain as day. I should also mention that I had radio playing at the time, and I heard his voice over the sound of the radio. It was that clear. So remarked, "Either you're very sensitive or I'm a very strong transmitter." Other experiences. Some experiences just don't quite fit into any categories. Here are a few examples. The 27th of September 1980 Saturday, a large moth came into my bedroom. I mentally commanded it to enter my cupped hands. It immediately fluttered directly into my hands, and I cupped my hands around it. Then I promptly ushered it out of the house without harming it. The 17th of April 1981 Friday, for some reason or another I was trying to think of the German word for tired. I racked my brains. I was still trying to remember it when I heard myself physically say, "Mued." Then I thought, "Yeah, that's it." Then I realized what happened. I remembered the word only because my body just said it. I had no intention of saying anything, nor did I remember the word until after I said it. Weird. Conclusions. Of course, there are also many psychic things I haven't experienced. I've never experienced mediumship, automatic writing, or anything like that. When most of these experiences were happening to me, I wasn't really expecting them or even wanting them. I wanted OBs because they were concrete and indisputable in my own mind. They couldn't be brushed off as coincidences or delusions of grandeur. It was undeniably real to me as a participant. Still, when I practiced my out-of-body experience techniques, I was exploring altered states of consciousness and meditation, and that was enough to unlock all these other psychic experiences and more. Therefore, I warn you, if you do plan to try out-of-body experiences for yourself, be prepared for a possible barrage of other psychic experiences. On the other hand, if your aim is to develop psychic abilities, practicing out-of-body experience techniques may work well. You may get a few obis out of the deal too. The possibilities of psychic experience are as wide and varied as normal experience, but a person's psychic abilities don't make them more spiritual or better than anyone else. Rather than to aim for inducing out-of-body experiences or psychic experiences, I would prefer that you strive for spiritual growth, whatever that means to you. I believe that working on your own spiritual growth will naturally make you more psychic as you progress. Exercise 25, Developing Psychic Skills. As I learned more about psychic experiences, I discovered that my psychic abilities fade in and fade out in cycles. At times they are strong, and at other times they seem to fade out completely. I also learned that it's possible to increase psychic abilities. Here are some exercises that may increase your psychic abilities. Practice meditation and obis. Give yourself suggestions just before sleep and when you first wake up. For example, I want to be psychic. Visualize yourself pouring love out in all directions. Imagine extending your awareness until you're trying to feel the emotions of your whole neighborhood. Try musical meditation and listening to hypnotic songs. Give yourself reminders, post-it notes or whatever, with messages like you are psychic or you can leave your body. Make pacts with your higher self. Here is an example. I want to be psychic. I know that the universe will respond to my needs and desires quickly and completely. In return, I promise to cooperate with my oversoul, follow impulses, act on intuitions, share knowledge, spread love and cooperate with my higher self. Chapter 26, Questions and Answers. There are a few questions that are frequently asked about the out-of-body experience. Here is how I would answer them, in no particular order. What do you do during an out-of-body experience? Mostly, I explore. I experiment. I have an insatiable curiosity, so I just go out and try things. I also love to fly. Can you lose your body? If anyone has lost their body, they obviously hadn't lived to tell about it. But all indications are that you can't lose your body for good. I believe that your oversoul has invested a great deal of time and energy in creating and maintaining a physical body for a purpose. Your oversoul is not going to give up your body until your purpose has been fulfilled. Thousands of people have experienced OBs, and wandered thousands of miles away from their body. After a certain period, they usually just lose consciousness and find themselves back in their body again. What about possession? Perhaps if you have mediumistic tendencies, spirits can temporarily inhabit your body while you are out. However, spirits cannot possess your body long term unless you give them permission to do so. My clairvoyant Frida End, LD, told me of an out-of-body experience where a spirit of a woman entered her body without permission. The woman was trying to animate LD's body, but couldn't. LD returned to her body to find it occupied. She was so angry that she yelled at the spirit to get out or else. The spirit said no, but LD got furious and yelled now. The unhappy spirit quickly left the body, and LD entered it again. The point is, even when you are out of your body, your oversoul has a claim on that body. Other spirits do not have the power to animate your body. Can you encounter something evil like a demon? I don't believe in evil. There are only two kinds of demon. The first kind is the demon we create from of our own fears. If you don't believe in evil, you cannot encounter these demons. If you understand and face your fears, you can face these demons and destroy them with an act of will. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. The second kind is the spirit of a dead person who is playing the role of a demon to make him, herself appear more intimidating. But that's different from evil. Remember this. They are just a spirit like you and me. They have no more power than you do, despite how they look or act. If you are a gentle soul, just visualize a white light around the spirit and send feelings of love to the poor misguided spirit. If you're ornery, tell them to stick it where the Sunday doesn't shine, and walk away. If you're playful, make yourself into a big demon and give them their own treatment. They can't harm you, and they can't possess your body unless you give them power over you by being afraid. What are the psychological effects? Can you go insane? Again, I can only speak from personal experience. One common definition of sane is when a person is an integrated person functioning normally in society. I can say this much, I haven't had any problems holding a job. As a computer programmer and analyst, stress levels are high and my brain functions are constantly being taxed. My hobbies haven't done any noticeable harm. There is an excellent book called With the Eyes of the Mind by Gabardine Twemlow that contains an in-depth study of the psychology of hobbies. It compares the out-of-body experience to other psychological phenomena. In short, they found that the out-of-body experience shouldn't be grouped with psychological disorders such as dissociation, schizophrenia, otoscopy and other body boundary disturbances. Out-of-body experience falls into a category of its own. When is the best time to practice? The best time to practice is in the morning, when you are awake, refreshed and not likely to fall asleep. I mostly practice Saturday and Sunday mornings because I can sleep in late, wake up refreshed and then have plenty of time to practice. I also recommend you take a nap sometime during the day, and use that time to attempt to leave your body. Naps are better than bedtime, because you're usually not as tired. You can relax and really get into it, without being so tired that you just fall asleep right away. If you only practice before bedtime, make sure to go to bed early so you won't fall asleep immediately. What's the difference between an out-of-body experience and a lucid dream? Some people believe that OBs are the same thing as lucid dreams. It's easy to confuse the two. I'm not an expert in the field of lucid dreams, but I can offer my opinions. Lucid dreams seem to come in two categories. The first type of lucid dream happens during the onslaught of sleep. It is possible that these experiences are actually OBs. The second type of lucid dream occurs during REM, rapid eye movement, sleep, which researchers acknowledge as the dream state. Scientists have developed a few commercial devices that monitor the eyelids of a dreamer. When REM sleep is detected, the machine flashes a light or sends another signal to the dreamer. When the dreamer recognizes the signal, they can wake themselves to a fully conscious lucid dream. Studies have shown that OBs do not occur during REM sleep. From personal experience, I can say this much, I have experienced them both, and have seen the difference. Lucid dream scenery seems fake when compared to out-of-body experience scenery. In lucid dreams I realize the scenery is fake and can make the scenery dissolve, leaving me floating near my body. What's the difference between meditation and out-of-body experience? In some forms of meditation, the goal is to clear your mind of all thoughts, which is very similar to quiescing your mind for an out-of-body experience. Some people report accidentally leaving their body during meditation. Others go into a state of meditation when trying to induce an out-of-body experience, but never leave their body. Page 125. When I meditate, my mind becomes empty, and I go into a kind of trance that I can't explain. In this trance of meditation, I don't have any perception. I don't have dreams or hypnagogic images. It is as if the world has completely stopped, and my consciousness has been extinguished. When I come back from meditation, I have no memories. When I induce an out-of-body experience, I don't induce nearly as deep a trance. I retain a thread of alert consciousness the whole time. Once I reach the out-of-body experience state, my consciousness becomes normal again. After the experience, I have complete memories of the experience. How do I know if it was real? My general rule of thumb is, if you're not sure, then it was not a real out-of-body experience. A true out-of-body experience should leave you with no doubt in your mind. In a genuine out-of-body experience, you should literally feel as if you are separate from your body. It won't seem like a dream, a daydream, a visualization, or a fantasy. It will feel absolutely real. Is consciousness as clear during an out-of-body experience? In an out-of-body experience, as in life, consciousness can be crystal clear or muddy. I've had OBs where my consciousness was more intense than normal waking life. I've also had OBs where my thinking was more muddy. What's the difference between out-of-body experience and near-death experience? This is how I think of it. The out-of-body experience is one typical feature of a near-death experience, NDE. Typical NDEs have some other common features that aren't usually found in an out-of-body experience, although that doesn't mean they can't happen. Some of these features are gliding down a tunnel, having your life flash before your eyes, seeing a bright light, meeting dead relatives or Friday ends and being told it is not your time. Also, NDEs usually happen during times of bodily trauma. OBs often happen from a state of perfect health. Has anyone seen God, Jesus, etc., during an out-of-body experience? It is more common to see deities during NDEs rather than during OBs. It's interesting to note that when this happens, it seems to be based on the person's religious convictions. Christians tend to see Christ. Buddhists tend to see the Buddha. Hindus tend to see their deities. I believe there is only one God. Perhaps certain powerful spiritual entities on the other side can appear in a form makes the participant most comfortable. Personally, I've never seen a deity during an out-of-body experience, except the childhood experience in Chapter 2. When you leave your body, aren't you technically dead? Why doesn't brain damage or rigor mortis occur? Your body does not die during an out-of-body experience. It goes into a deeply relaxed state. Is out-of-body experience related to UFO phenomena? Many victims of alien abductions describe symptoms similar to out-of-body experience phenomena. They describe tunnels, vibrations, weird sounds and sights, and total paralysis. They describe how aliens appear out of thin air beside their beds or walk through walls. Victims are levitated out of bed and are pulled outside through the wall. I believe many such victims are merely misinterpreting symptoms of typical OBs. I think a lot of abductees would be relieved to know the true nature of their experiences. I must also add that not all claims of alien abduction can be dismissed as OBs. Some UFO cases have compelling physical evidence that wouldn't be left after an out-of-body experience. Can you inhabit the body of a medium while out-of-body experience? Around 1903, an invalid by the name of Vincent Turvey learned how to induce OBs to free himself from his disabled body. Spiritualism was still popular then, so Turvey started visiting seances during his OBs. A few times he actually sent messages through the medium during the seance. In his book, The Beginnings of Seership, Turvey has signed testimonials from people who were present at these seances. I believe him because he had witnesses and because he was too physically ill to stage such elaborate hoaxes. I've never tried it, and I don't know of anyone who has, other than Turvey. But I believe it can be done. Is there a such thing as astral sex? I've read about astral sex in only a few books. The following experience, which I labeled a lucid dream at the time, is the closest I've been. The 3rd of August 1983, Thursday. Last night I had an interesting experience that I'd like to share. Last night before I went to sleep at midnight, I prayed to God. I asked to have an experience where I would reach my soulmate through a dream. Sometime in the middle of the night I found myself in a dreamlike state and was semi-conscious. I was not in a recognizable place. I was with a woman with light hair, and I don't know if she was my soulmate or not. We got very close to each other, and just before we embraced I became conscious in the sense of a lucid dream. The intensity of the experience is what caused me to be conscious. We embraced and at first I thought we were hugging. Then her body became less defined and started melting into mine. I was surprised and my body started melting too. As we melted into each other, energy started shooting out in all directions with the intensity of the Sunday. I can't remember anymore. What do you see when you look in a mirror? The following is an out-of-body experience where I looked into a mirror. What I saw was surprising. The 25th of December 1985, out-of-body experience, number 121. One stayed in bed, practicing out-of-body experience. I use the rock my consciousness method to loosen myself from the body, but I felt somewhat attached to it, even as I was swinging away. On one outward swing, I twisted to my left, reached out with my astral arms, grabbed onto the bed and pulled myself completely out of my body.